This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Emily Pilliton isn't much older than the students she instructs at Bertie County Early College High School, but you might think they grew up generations apart. Emily's Northern California childhood was filled with days spent outdoors, building things with her hands. When she asked her students to think about the last time they made something, she received a lot of blank stares in return. She realized that kids don't have many opportunities to construct things the way she did in her youth. But she also realized that her students had the desire and the ability to make things by hand. Emily and her co-teacher, architect Matt Miller, started a course called Studio H. The semester-long curriculum teaches students the basics of design and guides them to build projects that benefit the local community. Emily Pilliton is the featured speaker at an upcoming STEM education conference at RTP on Monday, but right now she joins me by phone from Bertie County, where she lives. Hello, Emily.
Hi, Frank. Thanks so much for having me.
Good to have you here. So tell us about this moment when you realized that the high school students you were looking at had never made anything.
Well, you know, my co-teacher, Matthew Miller, and I started teaching in the fall of 2010, and on the first day of school, we had posed that question just kind of as an icebreaker. What was the last thing that you made? And it could have been cookies for your mom for her birthday, or a greeting card, or a fort in your backyard. And I did get a lot of blank stares. I think there were a couple people that said, oh, I made dinner last night, or I did make a greeting card for my grandmother. But for the most part, there was a lot of just they didn't have any answers, and I was sort of surprised by that. I'm not sure what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting them not to be able to come up with anything.
So where did the idea for Studio H come from?
Well, my partner and I are both trained as architects, and I had founded an organization called Project H Design, which is a nonprofit, and the mission of Project H is to use design in places and in ways that are sort of non-traditional, and to use design as a tool for communities and also for public education. So Studio H grew out of that mission statement. Specifically here in Bertie County, we had a wonderful opportunity to work with the former superintendent who had a great vision of using design and creativity to improve the schools. And so we had written the Studio H curriculum as a way to put some kind of creative structure into the classroom and to teach design thinking and creativity and critical thinking, but also the hands-on construction skills to pull off, you know, full-scale built architectural projects for some sort of community benefit.
And it was your ideas about design and education that brought you to Bertie County in the first place, weren't they? Those ideas?
That's right, yeah. The former superintendent, Dr. Chip Zollinger, was a really wonderful partner and kindred spirit, and he was the one that initially reached out to us. We were based in the Bay Area in California at the time, and he just had this grand vision of using design to improve the school district. And so we began working with him more on sort of facilities renovations. We did some educational playground spaces and computer labs and a weight room for the football team, and then realized there was this thing that we were sort of dancing around, this logical conclusion that if we really wanted to explore the intersection of design and education, that it had to be in the classroom and that we needed to become teachers and actually teach the wonderful things about design that are so engaging, not just to us as professionals, but to students.
And it took a real important turn at that moment because, as you described, the design that you came with was a design for students, for the school system, and now you're working with the schools, with the students in design.
Exactly, and that's a really great distinction. I mean, I think a lot of design that you see out in the world, that the traditional design industry is very much about providing things for people, and so we wanted to change that and say, you know, design it should be democratic and it should be about producing solutions from within and not us forcing solutions on a community or even a classroom of students. And so we really looked to our students and tried to tailor the curriculum to them and to the context of this place. And that's really what Matt and I both come from, an architectural background, and architecture is a response to a context. And we've taken the same approach with our class, that we need to respond to the context of our students and allow them to have their own vision, and we're really just helping them to make those things real.
So describe the course for us. How does it work?
Well, last year we started with a full year. It was two semesters, fall and spring, and then a summer construction component where students that had completed the academic portion were offered a paid summer job to build this full-scale architecture project for the town of Windsor. Last year it was a farmer's market pavilion. And so during the year, we're really starting from ground zero and trying to build up the foundational skills of everything from how to brainstorm, how to think more creatively, to how to be in a wood shop or a metal shop and learn the basics of MIG welding and how to use wood saws and band saws and drill presses, et cetera. So both on the sort of ideation side, but also on the production side. And the thread, I think, programmatically that tied the whole year together was that it was a response to the community. So we did some small chicken coops that were in response to the local economy here, which the biggest employer is the Purdue Chicken Processing Plant. So it was a response to something going on locally, but the students had an opportunity to produce kind of something with a different twist.
Well, that idea of the farmer's market pavilion, I want to stay with that because of the way it shines light on so many aspects of the program itself. There had been no farmer's market there. So, number one, it sort of generates this thing called a farmer's market. And the students did a little bit of ascertainment, right? They did a little marketing to figure out what should go in there. They talked to people about how they shop and what they eat, right?
Definitely, yeah. And that was something that, again, we didn't come in with a preconceived notion that we wanted to build a farmer's market. It came from many conversations and had so many different facets to the project. Yes, we had to build the structure, but there was also this enterprise that needed supporting. And so we had to partner with the town, the mayor, and the town council was really supportive of the idea. And in fact, it was in some ways their idea in the first place, and also our students. But having to balance all those different sides of a design project, the physical structure of it, but then also the sort of humanistic side and going and talking to farmers and understanding, Bertie County is designated as a food desert. So how can we use this place to make local fresh food more available? And our students got to really negotiate all the different sides of this project from really every different angle and had to use so many different skills, both on the construction site, but also developing communication skills and going out into their own community and talking to people. And then being able to come back and synthesize all that into something that was going to be a really powerful, progressive thing for this town.
And the project is finished, right?
It is, yeah. It was open all last season from May until October, and it's opening actually this Saturday is the first Saturday it'll be open for this season.
How's it going?
It's going great. We have an amazing vendors association. It's being managed by both the town and then the Roanoke Cascheire River Center has been a great partner in supporting the management of the actual market. And we have, I think, close to 30 vendors, and it's been a great success.
And the interesting thing, another interesting thing about this project is the way it tests students. It brings together, it accumulates knowledge rather than the kind of granular elemental testing that now stands for, end of grade tests that students have to endure.
Right. And I have to say, we're very lucky in that we do not teach to a test, and the curriculum that we teach is very loose. And so we have a lot of latitude in, as you said, we're not focused on the particulars so much as this is where we want to get at the end of the year. We need to build this giant structure or produce this big project. And in order to get there, the steps along the way might change. But every student is learning a really valuable set of construction, production, creativity, critical thinking skills that at the end they can all look back and say, that's what I walked away with.
Now, how is the school system, the rest of the school system, the families taking to this different approach to education?
Well, the students and their families have been fantastic. And with a program like this, there are so many stakeholders. And so we've had to remain very conscious and sensitive to the fact that everyone involved is probably invested in a different way. The towns have invested in the farmers market in a different way than our students, the families, the school district, other teachers. So the response in general has been fantastic. We've had a lot of support from the families, from the town. I think that our next big challenge will be trying to make the program just more sustainable and ensure that there is mutual buy-in. Right now, we have a little bit of a funny relationship with the school district where we're unsupported by them financially. We've been grant funded up until now. So I'm hoping that eventually that the program can become more long lasting because we have more mutual investment.
Bertie County is a particular place. It is one of the poorest, if not the poorest county in North Carolina, which makes it by extension one of the poorest places in America. Is this kind of a program and project replicable in every school district, do you think?
I have thought about that a lot, and the answer is yes, with a few caveats. And I think there are absolutely components of the program that can and do belong in every school in America. But what I don't believe in is the sort of drag and drop, take this curriculum and drop it in another school. I think the thing that makes our program really unique is that it is so responsive, and people ask us if they can use our curriculum. And to be totally honest, we don't have a set curriculum, but that I think is what is replicable, that response to a particular set of students in a particular place. It's a very place-based program. And so I would love to see more schools taking the same kind of approach where they're able to be flexible with what they're teaching. And so that's what we're trying to figure out, is how can we be scalable without dragging and dropping.
Emily, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Emily Pilloton is the founder and executive director of Project H Design and her Studio H instructor. She's a featured speaker at next week's STEM Education Conference, Monday at the Sheraton Hotel Conference Center in RTP. You can find more information on that event at newschoolsproject.org. Conference registration is required. For more on Studio H, check out projecthdesign.org. On the state of things just ahead, get ready to laugh and talk about the world of comedy and how the world of comedy and the world of news are becoming one with Liz Winstead, coming up on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.